Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Oh, last week we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the due time crew. And we talked about the red flags that scream no second date. And we started with them forgetting your name. Now, we know people got other things on their mind. But if you're out on a date and he doesn't remember your name, that might be something that you want to pay attention to. Now, Pastor KL says, hey, you know, people do have a hard time saying KL. I don't know how that happens, but he's willing to settle. You know, I can get with it. I can get with it, he says. But the forgetting the name completely, nah, that's unacceptable. Well, what about when there's something wrong with the clothing? There's some wardrobe malfunction. Now, are you up for that? Now, Lady Tamika says, you know what? If he's got a broken zipper, he needs to just cancel the date altogether. We're not stopping to get a change of clothes. We're not going shopping to get a new pair of pants. No. Nothing like that. Wow. We also talked about if they talk about mom too much. Now, if he talks about mom too much, I don't want to hear it. I don't know about you ladies, but I'm not trying to hear nobody talk about his mama, his mama, his mama. You know, it's nice to know that you pay attention to your mama, but am I going to have to worry about this thing? Well, the men say, well, talking about the father is a no-no. No, I don't want to hear nothing about the dad. So, you know, these are the things that not only make you think about there not being a second date, but no, this was like absolutely not. All right, so that was an interesting conversation. Well, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day rolled around. And we got to talking about the transgender mayor / pastor who committed suicide. Well, that's after he had posted openly and was posting openly on an app. Yes, kind of putting pictures and all kinds of things out there, and you know, the people got a whiff of it and they started talking about it. Well, we're trying to figure out over here on this due time, why were you so shocked? Well, not only was the mayor pastor shocked, but you had another individual who said that, you know, the public was too judgmental and, you know, they shouldn't have been talking. What do you think people are going to do when you come out as a pastor, but at the same time, you come out as someone who is transgender and talking about getting hormonal replacement done? No, I'm sorry. That's just a little too much. That's a little too much to expect this world to accept. And unfortunately, it is what it is. You know, I would like to think that even the small old things that we consider small, I may not consider them small, but if we're wrong as pastors, we're wrong, and we're going to have to eat when the people hear of our wrongdoing. So while you're out there posting, I don't know what he thought was going to be going on. Well, you know, oh, goodness gracious. You know, when people live their life, this is some la-la land. They're thinking everybody's supposed to accept this. So, well, people didn't, and unfortunately it was a little too much for him to handle. And it's so sad that instead of making a change, possibly, that he committed suicide. Oh, boy. What a mess. Well, Wednesday rolled around, and we had a special edition of Wow Wednesday as we talked to the ladies and the men about the wow story of the day, about a man who walked out on his date after she revealed that she was a mom. Well, hold your horses. That's because he made it very clear in the beginning that he did not want to date anyone with children. And after the third date, she decided to spring it on him that she did have a child, and she wanted him to be a fill-in dad because he was a good man and he had a good job. And see, this is why he said he didn't want anybody, because after the third date, you're able to make this type of determination? Wow. See, ladies, we can't move too fast. Well, the other conversation that was the wow story of the day was the book In My Daddy's Belly. Now, it's a story of a transgender man carrying a baby. Well, you know, it's a little much. It's a little much to digest when people are criticizing others, again, for this lack of reception and acceptance about this book, because they say that this is people's reality. Well, we haven't heard yet how any man has successfully carried a baby in his belly, transgender or straight, and unfortunately, that is not reality. And I don't say unfortunately because it's too bad, but I say unfortunately because where are you living? What land are you living in where this is someone's reality? No one has lived through this. Not where the rest of us have heard. You know, we haven't heard about this thing. So I don't know. I don't know what reality they're talking about, but that's what they claim. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around, and we got to talking with our girlfriend Chastity Dawn about her book, From the Wilderness to the Narrow Path. And woo, There were some wonderful points made about our life, and she gave her own testimony and what the journey should look like when we're on the narrow path. And you want to go back and listen to that, because it was quite a treat. Yes, yes, yes. And from what I understand, there was some downloads of the audiobook that she has out. So, yeah, you want to go back and listen if people heard the testimony and, you know, the talk about the book and realized that they wanted to go get more. So go back and check it out. It's a treat. Trust me. Well, Freestyle Friday came finally. And we got to talking with the men about Diddy and Cassie. And the $30 million lawsuit that she smashed him with. And some interesting statements came out. And it was a good conversation, ladies. Good conversation, men. So you might want to go check that out as well. As a matter of fact, you want to check out all week because it was really good over here. And last night, Sunday night, oh, the Word Prayer Project was in effect. And we talked about praying for the divine release from your circumstance. Now, as we spoke about last night, there's a difference between just getting released. That's begging God, I want out. I don't care what you got to do. I don't care what I got to do. I want out, out, out. Versus walking it out with God, going through it with God, allowing God to have his perfect timing and his perfect will and his perfect way in and through your circumstance. So when you come out on the other side, you are like pure gold. Oh, it was good. The prayer requests. Oh, you know, I always talk about the prayer requests. Prayer requests were phenomenal. So you want to go back and listen and pray with the group. So it was good. It was good. It was good. Well, today is, oh, we're shaking the Monday morning blues all over again. How quickly these weeks are flying by as we are headed into the Thanksgiving Day celebration this week. And soon we will be in the month of December. God spare our life. And oh my, oh my, oh my, time is flying by. We get ready to get this morning started. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
I don't want to go blind from diabetes.
I don't want to lose a foot or a leg.
I don't want to have kidney failure, so I'm taking control.
I'm controlling my diabetes.
It's making a huge difference.
I'm eating healthy and staying physically active.
I'm taking my medicine.
If I can do it, anyone can.
Control your diabetes for life. Call 1-800-438-5383.
Thank you.
good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues together. Together. Isn't that a nice treat? I would say it is. Because if you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, as you say, think about the fact that you woke up. See, that's what Pastor Steph is here to remind you of. You know, every day may not be what we want it to be, but each day, as God has awakened us, we get one more opportunity to get it right. Yeah, we get to fix them things that we jacked up. So that's enough to make you shake that blues by itself. All right? All right. Well, let's get this morning started with our little, you know, health tip. Well. We have a very interesting listener-submitted health conversation this morning. How many times a day is it normal to go to the bathroom to pee? Yes. Some people feel like they're going all day, every day. But there's some others who hardly go. Now, I don't know any of those people, but especially as you get older, boy, them trips to the bathroom become more and more frequent. So they've decided to give us some information. And when I saw it, I thought this was really good. This was really good because as a diabetic, you know, one of the signs that your sugar level is up is the fact that you run to the bathroom all the time. But that also depends on your body, because if your body has become adjusted to the high numbers, then you may not go to the bathroom all the time, and therefore you may miss that sign that your numbers are out of control. So you should still have some type of idea as to, you know, how many times you really should be going. All right? So there's a board-certified nephrologist who is giving us this information, and they say that generally when the urinary bladder, now that makes us think that there's some other kind of bladder floating around up in us, when it collects more than a few hundred milliliters of urine, there's that urge to go to the bathroom. So if someone is producing between half liter and 18 liters of urine, they'll likely be headed to the bathroom to urinate 6 or 7 times a day. Now, they say anywhere from between 4 and 10 times a day is considered healthy. Okay? Now, the explanation on how many times a day is considered normal depends on the individual body and what their diet is like, especially how much fluid, you know, we take in as individuals. And they say that typically the amount of urine one produces is directly related to the amount of fluid we consume. At a minimum, They say a healthy young person eating a typical Western diet produces about half a liter of urine, and the maximum is about 15 to 18 liters of urine. So, having to go to the bathroom only once or twice every 24 hours, or on the other side, having to go to the bathroom more than 10 times can be a sign of an underlying medical problem, and you definitely want to see your doctor. If you feel the urge to go more than 10 times a day, but when you get to the bathroom, you're not producing any urine, that could be a sign of urinary tract infection. And that is very common, I'm coming to find out, in our older adults, our elderly. Yeah, and this seems to be something newer because, I mean, I've never heard of so many elderly people getting urinary tract infections, because back in the day, I don't know if y'all remember this, but they used to call urinary tract infection the honeymoon tract infection. Yeah, I'll go into that in a little bit if we have time. All right? All right. They also say pain when you go, and lower back pain is also symptoms symptoms of a urinary tract infection. All right. Having to go to the bathroom excessively could also be due to having an overactive bladder, and that is no fun, needless to say. And is that what you're going through? Is anybody experiencing that? Unlike a UTI, people with an overactive bladder, they do produce urine when they feel an urge to go to the bathroom. And an overactive bladder, you know, is something that you don't have to be afraid of. Go talk to your doctor, because there's some solutions, including behavioral interventions and medications. And I know that they have said that if you constantly have to go to the bathroom, or you feel like you have to go to the bathroom, you can do like exercises. Mm-hmm. We actually did that health tip here one morning about doing like exercises for your bladder. Now, if you're a male who has to go to the bathroom more than 10 times a day, they're saying another possible cause could be an issue with your prostate. And they're saying that benign prostate hyperplasia, it could be the problem. And they're saying with this condition, the prostate gland is enlarged, but it's not cancerous. Okay, and those symptoms include difficulty urinating despite straining, having a weak stream of urine, and dribbling at the end of urinating. So if you're experiencing those symptoms, men, please see your doctor. All right, you also want to rule out anything else. You know, men, you have to drag to the doctor, but you definitely want to go to the doctor and give them the information and let them, you know, do whatever it is they need to do to find out exactly what it is, okay? Now, if you have those medical conditions, that's one thing, but having diabetes, drinking excess water, and consuming excess salt can also make you go to the bathroom more times a day than what's considered normal. Okay? Now, on the flip side of this, if you're only going once or twice a day, that might be a sign of kidney injury or kidney disease. Definitely you want to see your doctor, okay? But it could also mean you're not drinking enough liquids. Now you want to make sure you get those 8 glasses of water in a day. And if you're drinking 8 glasses of water a day, you're definitely going to be going to the bathroom more than once or twice a day. Now, they say we want to make sure we think about how much water we're drinking or how much liquids, you know, we're drinking a day, our diet, and our own body, because that really dictates how many times you go a day. What could be normal for one person is not normal for another person. You know, another thing, ladies, carrying a baby. That was one annoying time. You are constantly in the bathroom because the baby is pressing on your bladder. Also, after you, you know, have a baby, you know, now that could have done a slight little damage to your bladder where you go to the bathroom a little bit more than what you used to do before you carried that baby. Okay? Now, it doesn't necessarily mean it has to happen, but it does, and it has happened. All right? So those are the kind of things that you want to consider, okay, when you're really going to the bathroom back and forth, or you're not going to the bathroom. One of the things that, you know, that's the bigger concern is if you're really not going to the bathroom as, you know, what's considered normal. You know, if you're only going once or twice a day, that's really not normal. I think that's the biggest abnormality in all of this. You know, it's better to go too much than to not go at all. Okay, so pay attention to your body. Again, I always tell people, please pay attention to your body. You know, we're always telling you, go to your doctor, get these things checked out. And one of the things that you definitely don't want to do is get to the doctor and then when they're asking you questions, you full of I don't knows. Because that really does not help the situation much, okay? All righty. Well, what are we talking about this morning? We've got some stuff, y'all. We got some stuff. Oh, the news did deliver this weekend. Well, we're starting off, woo, talking about your body. 10 years old, a 10-year-old boy, unfortunately, did not have a good experience out in the country of India. Yeah, out in Western India, they've had this crazy, crazy outbreak of monkeys attacking people. Yes. And unfortunately, a 10-year-old boy was playing with his friends, and this attack from these monkeys took place, and they ripped his intestines out. Oh my gosh. Yeah, they ripped his intestines out during the attack. He was rushed to his house, then taken to a hospital. And unfortunately, we don't have to say, you know, because you're not going to survive that. He was dead on arrival, unfortunately. Now, they're saying that this was the third attack by monkeys in that village during that week. And they've been trying to catch monkeys around that village for quite some time. They say there's this large troop of monkeys in that village, and they have been attacking people on the regular, including four adults who had been involved in the attacks. Two of them had been rescued, thank God. And they have managed to catch two of the monkeys. And they have set a trap for the other one. We hopefully able to catch, you know, at least three of them. Now, check this out. This is why I thought this was kind of interesting. They actually have a bounty of what would be our $250 on the head of a monkey. Now, this particular monkey had attacked 20 people over a two-week period. Now, I'm trying to figure out how in the world are you going to know that this was the same monkey that had attacked 20 people? How do you get that detailed? I don't know. But they're actually saying that they have put, you know, a bounty out because they really want to try to catch this monkey. Now, I don't know, y'all. Now, y'all tell me if it's just me. But if this monkey or these monkeys have been known to attack people and rip out intestines, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to miss that $250. Let that go to somebody else, because I'm not trying to get out here and attack no monkey or catch a monkey. They say that since 2021, there's been like up to 250 puppies that have been attacked. And these monkeys have carried the puppies to the top of trees and rooftops and then dropping them off the roof or dropping them out of the trees. Man, ooh. They say now normally monkeys are not aggressive, but for some reason, these monkeys out in India, it is not uncommon for them to be aggressive. Yeah, particularly in certain areas that are close in proximity to humans. And they tend to feel threatened when there's a large population of humans, because their food is actually threatened. Yeah, their food supply. But when are you having a hard time hearing me? I don't know why. If you're having a hard time hearing me, please send me a message, whether you can hear me or not. I'm actually on a different line today, so you shouldn't be having any problems. But this has been some interesting story, because I have never heard of any time monkeys were taking puppies. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm getting some mixed. Some people say they can hear loud and clear. So if you can't, please check your phone line. Thank you so much. Let me see what else is going on. Yeah, we got to do a sound check, y'all. Got to do a sound check. Let's see. Okay? Again, I hear you fine, no problems. So if you're having some difficulty hearing, please check your line. Thank you so much, my due time listeners. I appreciate you. All right, so that is our first story for the morning. And, you know, I just think about, boy, thank God we have not had those problems here in the United States. What else are we talking about this morning? Now, there's this Tiffany Lucas, who they're calling the killer mom. Now, this is a really sad story. And I had gotten a whiff of this last week when this story came up. I think it was the tail end of the week. Now, there's this 32-year-old woman, again, Ms. Lucas, who killed her 9 and 6-year-old sons. They found the boys covered in blood, and they were in a home. They were in their home. They were in their home, and they are the cutest little ones. And I don't know. They said this is like a really weird story because they said something about the neighbors ended up finding out about the children, and when the cops got there and they spoke to her, she said that it was an accident. Now, these boys were found shot in the head, and they say the gun was found on a bed near the boys. Oh, okay, here we go. So she was supposedly found collapsed on her front lawn. So, of course, that would attract attention of the neighbors, and that's how all of this started. And they found the boys inside the house. They found the gun near the two little boys, and when they asked her, that's when she said it was an accident. So they arrested her and charged her with 2 counts of murder. And, you know, this is really a sad story. You know, she's in jail now on a $2 million bond, and the judge actually said that she declared her to be a danger to others and gave her that high bond at the arraignment because of those murders. Now, I found a subsequent story, which was an interesting leg. Now, they're saying that these boys had an older brother, and for some reason, he wasn't living with the mom, but he spent time with the brothers, and he said that he had just spent time with them like the week before or something like that, and they're saying that CPS had been called on this mother at one point. Now, the boys, the father passed away in 2019. And when the father passed away is when the older brother became a little more involved with the two little boys. Now, I'm definitely expecting this to be an ongoing story because they're saying that CPS was called, but they never said that CPS really got involved with the children or why CPS was even called in the first place. So definitely knowing that this is going to be an ongoing story. you know, I've been saying over and over and over again that, you know, these kids can't even seem to get out of the way of their parents before, you know, there's any harm done from the outside world. You know, 9 and 6 years old, you shoot them in the head. Oh, poor little things. So clearly something was going on in the house if CPS had been called. And I'm interested because, see, they're going to press this CPS department out in Kentucky. They're going to press them because they're going to find out that, you know, what was going on and why, you know, nobody did anything or what were they called about. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So this is going to be a developing story for a minute. I know that. Well, we've got a story of a Florida rapper who's now facing murder charges after this altercation with her manager and another particular guy. And all of this was caught on security footage. Now, you've got this Kevana, 27 years old, who's known as Kevana. That's her stage name. And I guess this is another reason to thank God that they've got, like, footage of camera footage kind of going all over the place. Now, the camera caught her shooting her manager multiple times. But here's what the footage also revealed. So they showed her getting out of a car with the manager before they got into some kind of an argument and they began to hit one another. Another guy got out of the car and joined the two of them, and the two men ended up throwing her on the ground and pinning her down. So after they let her up, she walked off from the two of them, and out of her handbag, she pulled out a gun and shot the manager, or shot at the manager. Well, after he dove to the ground, and he's trying to, you know, get some cover, she's actually pursuing him in the footage while she's shooting at him, and he ends up being kind of shot and sprawled out, and she actually shot at the other guy, but he got in the car, and the footage shows that he hit her with the car, knocked her to the ground, and he sped off. Now, they ended up getting to the manager, but he was then taken to the hospital, and he died. Now, she was also taken to the hospital with blunt force trauma, and, of course, the police arrested her. But, you know, at the time she was saying that she acted in self-defense. So she, they're expecting her to be let out on bond and given house arrest. Now, they're saying that this is some ongoing story because the people are saying in her camp that this is not the first attack from this manager. And they've been known to fight, and she's had to defend herself in the past. Now, I laid this story out for a reason, y'all. We ain't talking about her father. We ain't talking about her man. Or are we? Or are we? Because listen to the story. They get out of the car. They argue. They start hitting each other. See, this is why you got to pay attention to details. They start hitting one another. Then another person gets out the car, and between the two of them, they hold her down. They knock her to the ground. They hold her down. And then after they let her up, she takes out a gun. She shoots. She's insistent on shooting the manager first and clearly wounding him. And when she goes for the second guy, by that time, he gets in the car. He hits her. And now later, they hear that this is a norm for them. Who fights with the manager physically on a regular basis? Now, you might argue or have some type of disagreement with your manager, and then you finally realize, okay, he's not or she's not the person that I want managing me, and you walk off. But who have you? I mean, this is not normal for you to be fighting physically with the manager. That's not normal. So why is this known that she's had to defend herself before? Now, what kind of relationship do you have, or how much money is he making you where you've had to defend yourself, but yet you continue to retain him as your manager? Nah, something else is up with this story. Nah. No, I'm sorry. There's something else going on between the two of them. This is a volatile relationship, and they are accustomed to arguing. They're accustomed to fighting, and they do like every other couple. Y'all argue and fight. Y'all kiss and make up. Y'all go on for a little while, and then when it gets hot, you argue and fight, and then you kiss and make up. This is their norm. This ain't no normal relationship where you fight physically with your manager, but then he's still booking you for gigs. No, I'm sorry. Nah. And she's young, too? No, she's young. Lisa, how old did I say she was? Hold on. 27, yeah. She's young. She's a rapper. This is their thing. So maybe I'll listen and find out what the due time crew says, but that's my vote, because that ain't normal. All right, I got one more story that I thought was really, really good, and then I got a recap for y'all. I got a recap before we do our topic, because that's going to be interesting today. All right, so in Finland, they are having a problem with Russia crossing the border. Yes. Now, they share quite a bit of border with Russia. 830 miles of border they share with Russia. And they've got this issue where they're saying at least 200, and I want y'all to pay attention to this. They have an issue with at least, as of now, at least 280 asylum seekers. They say mainly from Syria, Somalia, and Iraq have arrived in Finland through Russia. Okay? And 100 more, they say, have swarmed the nation's southern borders since Friday. Well, guess what they did? They shut the border down. Yes, they said Finland shut down 4 of its 9 border crossings with Russia late Friday to stop a sudden influx of Middle Eastern and African migrants. So I ask, Come on, y'all, say it with me. Why in the world haven't we done the same? That's because there's some money involved. Yes. Now, let me recap. 280 asylum seekers have come. Now, let me show you how they didn't done the research. They didn't say they had 280 asylum seekers from Russia. They say from Syria, Somalia, Iraq, and Yemen have come through Russia. How they know all of that? How they know all of that, y'all? At 100 more? Nah, they said 380. We ain't letting it get to 400. We shutting this down. So four of the 9 border crossings have been shut down. And I want to know, okay, why? And because y'all then jacked up, how in the world have we allowed almost 200,000 people over here in New York alone? And yet, we can't seem to stop this. Man, when I read this last night, I was like, you got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. So you know the news was going to eat this one up, y'all. Y'all knew. Y'all know the news was going to eat this one up. Y'all know the news is going to eat this up. Oh, let me talk to my due time crew and hear what they got to say this morning. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am well. Thank you, girl. How are you?
I am well. I'm just literally trying to figure. You can't make these stories up. Like, even if you tried in your wildest imagination,
yes, ma'am,
you still wouldn't be able to come up with the stuff that you're getting. Good grief.
No. And when it's dry, Tamika, it is dry, girl. Last week, at a couple of days, I was like, well, do I go out and make up news? Because there was nothing newsworthy for its due time. But, girl, when it's hot, it is hot. And I say the same thing. You cannot make this stuff up. Our imagination couldn't touch reality. Oh, my goodness. Now, I gotta ask you. So out in India, they have this issue with these monkeys attacking people. And it attacked this 10-year-old boy where the little one ended up getting his intestines ripped out during the attack. Now, I can't even imagine the pain behind this poor baby behind this attack. Now, they're putting out this bounty on, now it's 21,000 quote-unquote dollars in India money, but it's only $250 for us. And they're putting out this $250 bounty on the head of one of these monkeys. Would you go after this bounty?
Considering the lives that have already been taken, in addition to the little one whose intestines was ripped. So you're not talking about a scratch or a bruise. You're talking about intestines, something that's within to maintain your food is literally sitting out. You can look at it. It's sitting outside your body. No, I'm not volunteering. You couldn't pay me. $200 million wouldn't be enough for me to get out there and risk my life for this monkey. And then my thing is, ooh, I got a monkey. That's the wrong one. You can't get this. No, thank you.
That's what I said. I was like, well, how do you know which monkey? Because they say this has been an attack. And this is regular. This is normal for India, especially in more recent times. They have been going buck wild. So how are you supposed to know which monkey it is? They got a picture of the monkey. They've got a monkey with a, you know, a bruise on the right arm, you know. How do you know? So like you said, you could be out here chasing the monkey. You get the monkey, and then you don't even get the money? No, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm with you, Tamika. I ain't chasing nothing. Let them have that $250 or whatever, that $21,000, whatever, you know, currency is over there in India. All right. So I want to know, we're going to talk about since it's relationship day, we're going to talk about that story afterwards, because we got another story. Girl, we got another story that's coming up that I got to talk to y'all about, because last night I was looking at this thing, and I'm like, no, y'all got to talk to me today. All right, so in Finland, they have shut down the borders between them and Russia. What did they say? Let me get this number right. I want to make sure I get this number right, Tamika. They shut down 4 of 9 borders after 280 asylum seekers from 4 countries and another 100 swarmed. What's wrong with America? What's wrong with New York?
I'm not sure, but we need to fix it, and we need to fix it fast, because New York is becoming a place where it's just kind of like when you send the mail and you don't know where to send it, so send it to New York. You know, if there's a problem, send it to New York. New York will take it. You know, nobody else, you know, everywhere we look, we've seen Texas clearly said, nope, send them back. Wherever they came from, send them back. You know, and New York is just taking them in by droves. You have not provided any of, you say, okay, we got this, but you're leading people astray. You know, they don't know where they're going. They're just kind of being led along as you know, they do their 30 days. And then you lead them into a hole. You know, it's a travesty. And it's not just that. After that's done, you're still allowing people to come in. So this is just a trap, you know. It's really, really sad, because they're under the impression that they're going to make it. And some may, some will, but some will not. And it's basically because you're not doing what you need to do. If you're going to bring them in, then do all that you can for them. Not just have them there for 30 days and then, figure it out. You know, that's complicated. That's hard to do to anybody. You're selfish.
All righty. Well, you've got this Florida rapper, 27 years old, who ended up fighting with her manager. She ended up defending herself, according to the footage, the security footage that was picked up, that none of them knew was out there. And it showed her actually shooting and killing him, and her being hit by a car by the driver who had just helped to pin her down outside of the car with the manager. And now they're trying to get her bond, because they're saying that not only did the footage show that this was self-defense, she's claiming self-defense, and the family and her people are saying that she's had to defend herself from this manager in the past. Well, you heard what I said. What you think?
Yeah, there's definitely some hanky-panky going on some kind of way. You know, you might have kept it, you know, tried to keep it under wraps, but you think about it. You know, anybody who's running a business specifically, the first time that you act up and I got to put my hands on you, you're done. I don't want to work with you anymore. You know, same thing with a person who, hey, I'm paying you for a service. Your job is to manage me. The first time you put your hands on me, that seals the deal. I'm not coming back. So, yeah, that's one of those things. You know, you've heard of many of people who get into relationships. They fight. They argue. They scream. They yelling. You know, I remember a couple that I knew. She threw a brick at him. He was running down the street, and he threw a brick, and then he came back and threw a knife at her. And I'm like, you know, this and you call this a relationship, but for some people, that works. So they're angry, they love. You know, there's definitely some sex in there. You know, whether you, however you want to label it, because people have different ways of labeling things. Well, we're not in a relationship, but we just having fun. What kind of fun is that? If you laying your hands on me, you hit me with a vehicle, you know, and I mean, you laying me down on, you know, holding me down. All of this is crazy. And people are saying, oh, that's normal. That happens all the time. No, not when I'm paying you for a service and not when you're doing a job for me.
Yeah, this is a little much for me. I'm like, something up with this story. All right. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'll be back to talk about our main topic. And let's see what your brother, Pastor KL, has got to say this morning. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well. Thank you, Pastor KL. How you doing? You doing good over there in Alabama?
I'm doing just peachy, thank you.
Glad to hear. All right. You've got this 10-year-old little boy who unfortunately lost his life to this group of monkeys that are on attack out in India. They managed to catch two of them, and they want help catching the third. And they have put out what we would count as $250 bounty on the head of this monkey. And I said, I ain't looking for no monkey that can attack somebody and rip out the intestines for no $250. What about you? What say you?
Let me say, in my former life, I've had a capuchin and a marmoset, which is two of the smallest monkeys. And two of the smallest monkeys are strong. The first thing they tell you is that you have to extract their canines, which is their two front teeth, otherwise they'll kill you. Now, I don't know about you. Now, these are trained and these are tamed, so, you know, I trust them. But I'm not going out looking for Caesar. You know, no one's seen the paper page. You know what I mean? I've seen what Caesar could do, you know, in the wild. I'm not going looking for him. I'm sorry for the kid. You know what I mean? But no, I can't take that. For $250? No, Jesus. Mm-mm. I'm sitting on the corner of 42nd and 11th before I do that.
Man. All right. So it's unanimous. Ain't nobody chasing these monkeys. Now, let me ask you something. Why are these pets in your house if I got to rip out the canines before I could sleep at night? What is that?
Well, okay, so understand, you don't have to. You know, it's almost like, you know, a dog. You know, you don't have to, but just know that a pit bull is a pit bull. You know what I mean? I mean, they say they're for the sweet ones. You know, some folks are not willing to take that kind of chance. Because a pit bull will be a pit bull. They have a position to lock their jaw. Now, monkeys are very, very sweet. Unfortunately, monkeys only attach to one person. So they're not a family animal. So while they're attached to me, if Pastor Steph comes to visit and want to cuckoo in the cage with her hand may come off.
Wow. Thus, these are home pets. I don't get it. Oh, y'all can have all of this stuff here, Pastor Kale. Y'all can have this. Oh, my goodness gracious. All righty. Now, how often did you lock the monkey up? How long did the monkey stay in the cage a day?
I mean, while I was at work. He didn't have free liberty. He wasn't making no sandwiches. While I was at work. And then the other thing, the other side too, which became very expensive, a monkey has to stay in Pampas.
Wow.
You know, so that's, yeah, because, I mean, he ain't going to the toilet.
Yeah.
You know, he has to stay in Pampas. So, you know, that's a whole nother, exotic animals are very expensive. I've raised quite a few exotic animals And they're very, very expensive, but they're nice. And I think, for me, I did it because, you know, these are the animals you'll only see in the zoo, and you'll never think that a person on the outside of the fence could obtain them.
Wow. All righty.
Yes, it was Bubbles.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. All righty. Now, this Finland shutdown. Now, all it took was for them to get 300 people before they said, "Ah, nah, this ain't happening." Why couldn't America do the same thing?
Because America is greedy. That's the bottom line. You know, there has to be some great monetary per person. It's almost like the slave game. You know what I mean? When we was in auctions, you know what I mean? They got paid for each one of us if they wanted us. You know, so this is the same thing America is doing. You know, they're getting paid for people coming in here. Unfortunately, we have no place for them. But guess what? At this point, we already got our money, so we'll figure that out later.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Because I said the same thing. I'm like, okay, they 100 people after the 280 and 380. They're like, nah, this ain't going down like this. We have always said from the very beginning that this is monetary. There's some monetary gain for this, and this really, really shows that, yeah, there's something in it for them if they can start shutting borders elsewhere, but we are having such a hard time, you know, with this feat of stopping the migrants from coming in here. So you might as well just stop trying to pretend like you annoyed with this. And like you said, you done got out of it what you wanted to get out of it, and now you got to hold up your end of the bargain by any means necessary. So, there you have it, people. It's been said this morning. You're probably agreeing with us, and you got it right. All right, Pastor KL. You got this Florida chickie rapper, 27 years old, and you've heard the scenario. You know, she's fighting with the manager on a regular basis, come to find out. Now, he ends up on the losing side because he's dead now. I say they had a relationship, and this ain't normal for no manager and, you know, client to be fighting, and she's constantly having to quote unquote defend herself. What say you?
Well, it's definitely greater than a booty call. You know, it's definitely a relationship. You know, and unfortunately, you know, they mix business with pleasure, and they use the manager client as just a face. You know what I mean? But even the people would say they fought all the time. If you fight all the time, the only people that fight all the time is couples,
right?
People in relationships. You know what I mean? I'm a manager at my store. I'm not fighting with these folks that work for me. Even one
right.
or I'm gonna fire you. But we're not gonna have. I'm not even arguing with these folks in here. You know, so
yep.
at some point they crossed the professional line. You know what I mean? And thought that the bet. She might have thought that the benefits of sleeping with the manager would help her. You know what I'm saying? He might have thought the benefits of sleeping with the client would help him, but no one got helped. Everybody got hurt.
Yep. Because now one's dead and one is in jail. And she going to jail. Oh, she's going. They're going to make sure she spends some time up in there. So she's in there hoping to be released on $50,000 bond because of what the video has shown and what she says and what the people have said. And you know what? You just might get a judge that say, well, you know what? you should have left. And now that you didn't leave and now he's dead, you gonna eat this one. Because if you had to defend yourself before to the degree that you had to have a gun in your bag, yeah, you had enough warning, and this ain't self-defense. So you don't know which way this is going to go. So, you know, they're pretty sure they're gonna let her out. But I don't know. I don't know. It depends on your judge, but I agree with you and both, Tamika. Yeah, this thing went a little too far. Y'all thought that y'all could do the thing, and y'all could stay professional. Well, that went out the window a long time ago. So here you are. All righty. Thank you so much for joining us today, Pastor KL. And I got a relationship story, and I had several questions about this here. And ended up, after I finished with the first story and sealing that for today, I walked right into the second leg of this story. And I had already said, something don't look right to me. So I got some questions. So here's the story. Let me get my all my little duckies in a row here so we can get this going. All righty. Here we go. So out in Texas, there's this woman who decided she was going to go on a dating app. And this is Taylor Smith, 22 years old. She met this guy, Mr. Stewart, on a dating app back in September, BLK. And it's for young black professionals. After they text one another back and forth for 5 days, they decided to date. They decided to set up this date. Well, Miss Taylor invited Mr. Stewart over to her house in Houston. Now, he's 24 and she's 22. And she cooked him a meal. Well, the two watched a movie together and later moved to the bedroom so they could get intimate. As they started kissing, he suddenly covered her mouth and pulled out a knife and slit her throat. Now, thank God, she actually survived this. And she's showing pictures of the stitches across her neck from the knife wound, and she's sounding an alarm about the dating app safety after it turned out that Mr. Stewart had previously been arrested on a murder charge. But back in April, the judge dismissed the murder charge because, quote unquote, there was an unavailable and uncooperative eyewitness. He told Taylor that he was working as a cook at a Sonic drive-in. So she says, BLK was my first dating app and my last. My first and my last. I always heard crazy stories about it, but I never really thought it could happen to me. This was literally the person I decided to meet. I'm sorry. This was literally the first person I decided to meet off the app. So, BLK, you know, they got to defend themselves. They say they've removed the account, and they stand ready to provide any information to law enforcement that might help the investigation. Mr. Stewart, they say, was booked into custody. He's being charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and he's being held on $125,000 bond. Now, they're saying back in 2020, He was arrested on a murder charge in connection with the fatal shooting in Texas City. He's also previously served time in jail on a weapons charge. Now, she says that he didn't have many red flags. And I thought this was really interesting because we just got finished talking last week about the red flags that screamed no second date. But she said that he didn't have many red flags when they were talking on the app and texting. When they met up in person, she said he had kissed her forcefully a few times and told her he wasn't allowed to see his children. She said during the attack, she began screaming and trying to fight him off. He allegedly tried to stab her with the knife, and as she was fighting her way out the door of her house, he forced her to the ground to stop her from leaving. The neighbors came out, and that's how she managed to escape, and they called police after hearing her scream. She had to get 12 stitches to close the gash on her neck. She said, I've replayed that night a million times in my head, but the thing is, he didn't expect me to scream. It caught him off guard. Maybe he thought it was a scream movie where you slit someone's throat and they can't scream but just gargle. But God had other plans for me. I screamed and I fought back. She's BLK advises that people always be cautious when interacting with someone you met online. And there's your story. Now, I read you the whole story because Stephanie had several questions and thoughts. So, Tamika, I'm going to start with you and hear what you got to say. If there's any questions, please throw them out because I want to hear if you got any questions. If you're out there in the is due time listening world, please hit me up and comment or question, ask the questions that are going through your head possibly. All right, Tamika, what you got?
Oh, this is just... We just heard a story about, you know, and we already pretty much know. Everybody knows that there has to be something else. You know, you're putting your hands on me, you know. There has to be something else. You know, we clearly recognize in this relationship that there's sex. And, ladies, you got to be so very careful. Going out, period, you know, and it has gotten far worse than I can ever fathom, even in my dating age. And I don't, you know, you gotta look for, you know, don't be, oh, he's nice, he's good looking. You have to literally look for signs, you know, and do whatever research you can do. You know, you say, oh, well, I've never met any of his friends. You know, now technology makes it really simple, you know, and, you know, if you have to, tell me something about you. You know, what's your name, your age, you know, what area do you live in? You know, now they make technology so easy that you can actually Google a person, find out their name, their age, you know, and the region that they live in, their state, you know, and you can literally pull them up and find out information. You know, that's a step. You know, there's all kinds of things. You got to be very, very careful. The other thing, we keep talking about it over and over, you know, going to a person's house. You know, you got to be guarded. You have to. You know, it's not as simple as, oh, well, I'm just going over there and watch a movie. That's your plan. You don't know what he has in mind. And this is one clear example that tells you you have to be so very, very careful. You know, of what you do, what you allow, you know, what you open yourself up.
All righty. Pastor KL, what's your comment? Are there any questions that come to your mind?
Well, okay. In my former life, I've tried this this dating app stuff. And if I'd be honest, because, you know, I like to be transparent, it was only for a booty call, if you will. So in my mind, you know, I wasn't going to slit your throat. You know, that was not my intention. But my intention was no relationship. My intention was I really didn't want to get to know you. I wanted to see you, but I didn't want to get to know you. You know, and I think that there are lonely people out there, and they have the intention that, you know, I can find love here. No, you can't. You can't. I don't care how many apps there is and how many wonderful commercials you see them running on the beach, you know what I mean, and holding hands and stuff like that. You know, that's just not reality. You know, and I don't think that these folks get that. You know, my thing is that I know what you want, and I know you want a relationship. So I'm going to say all the things I can say to prove to you that I am the one. My whole introduction of myself is going to sound like Romeo. That's who I am on paper. You know, I just don't understand how we fall for these things. You know what I mean? If you're not healed, stop going out here trying to fill a void. And the first time she said, he kissed me too hard. Hey, wait a minute. What's going on? I mean, there are so many different signs. That's just the one thing that she said. I'm sure there are other signs. But because in your space and in your head, you want to find Mr. Right, you deal with a lot of stuff.
No. All righty now. We got Shantice available. So let's see if any questions come to her head. Let's hear her comments. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How's everyone?
Well, thank you. Well, thank you.
Doing well.
All right, what you got?
I didn't notice any red flags. Where was the time to notice anything? Y'all only texted for 5 days. You're not going to, no one is going to reveal themselves via text over a 5-day span. You invite him over to cook. Like Pastor KL said, he kissed you aggressively. Not only that, he then tells you one of his plights. I haven't been able to see my kids. Why? What happened? Why has she banned you? Did you try to slit their throat? There have been red flags. There were red flags on both ends, but because of the desperation, and I'm finding that word, people are not paying attention to that word as much as they should. Desperation has you ignore a lot. It has you overlooking a lot, doing a lot, not doing a lot. That was silly. I don't know you. The first time we see each other face.
She got disconnected. We lost connection with Shantice.
That's a red flag.
I want to try to give her a second, but that's definitely my child. I got to tell you. Definitely there was some thoughts that came, and I was just speechless when I saw the statement, there were no red flags. I have to agree with Shantice. You've been texting and talking via an app for five days. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. How could there be any red flags? There could easily be things that were said that made you question, you know, but at the end of the day, you have not met the person in person. So I'm like, all right, what in the world do you mean there were no red flags? There was no time. Yes, there are red flags. They're red flags that keep us on the dating app That's the red flag right there. For him or her, whoever suggested meeting after 5 days of just text. Now, here's my question. Now, I'm going to put Shanti Smith on because she's here. Here's my question, y'all. Here's my question. We've been texting for 5 days. It's time to meet already? Isn't that the whole purpose of dating via an app or going online? Is to kind of get, you know, this process out for a while, and then maybe after we've communicated enough, then I should decide to meet you. And that's where I'm going to stop. Shantice, what you got?
Yes, I'm sorry. I agree. There were red flags. He asked you, well, he came up, he kissed you, and then said, I can't see my kids. Why? Why? So you didn't ask that question. That didn't have you tell him to about face and go back home. A lot, everything about this just seems desperation. And slowly, but not so slowly, you're seeing that a lot of people who are involved with these dating sites are putting themselves out there for this to happen because everything is just accelerated. There is no, well, you know, let me get to know you, let me Google you, let me pay the dollar or the $12 to look you up and see if you got any records, you know, you haven't been incarcerated, anything. Like, nobody's doing anything. It's just, I see your picture, look cute, I want to sleep with you, so now I'm linking up. And then I invite you to my house, where normally I invite you to my turf, I got the upper hand, but he's licked your throat at your house. So all your guards were down. Everything was down. Now, I know it may sound a little unrealistic, but they need to just start shutting these sites down altogether because the people who run it, they have no control. So for you to come on and apologize and take someone off and all of that, what kind of real damage control are you doing? Because this is not the first, nor the second, or the third time, unfortunately, that we're hearing this. And as soon as Pastor Seth, as you said, what she actually survived it, I was like, wow, God, you allowed her to learn her lesson. Because had she died, she wouldn't have known. It would have just been, oh, I'm dying, and that's that. And then she wouldn't have been able to say, well, listen, this actually happened to me. Someone tried to kill me when I tried to get involved with someone on an online dating app. So don't do it.
But all right, so hold on. Let me interject something right there, because that's something that came to my mind last night. Are we blaming the dating app? Here's a problem that I'm having. If it was a blind date, now, Tamika tells me, because this has happened, Tamika tells me about somebody, oh, I think somebody is good for you. Not this has happened between Tamika and I. Let me just... let me clear that up. But this is, I've heard this story before. I had someone who recommended I date somebody. I dated him, and then he raped me. I dated him, and I found out this about him. The problem is not the dating app. That's not the problem. But here's the problem. When you dated the person who was the blind date, the reason why those things happened is because you did not do your homework. You did not do your due diligence. That was the issue. This same stuff has happened when you meet people face to face. We've had people.
Absolutely.
We've read these stories right here on the broadcast about somebody meeting somebody in the gas station. Remember that story? She met him in the gas station. Mm-hmm. They exchanged numbers. They decided to meet in the parking lot. He picked her up, took her to his house, and somehow or another, she managed to escape. And remember, he had already planned to kill her. When he met her, he had already planned to kill her. The dating app is not the problem. And this is something that came to my mind last night. Because I'm saying to myself, is the dating app the problem? No, it's you who has the problem. It's you because you're not doing your due diligence. So let's take the dating app off the table. If the dating app didn't even exist, we still have people who are jumping the gun, who are ignoring the things, the signs that are there. I said the same thing you said. I'm looking at a statement where she says, he told me that he worked at Sonic drive-thru. Now, I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all might, you know, smash me for this one, but he's 24. He's working at Sonic. I'm 27. No, I got it wrong. I got the other story. That's the other story. She's 22. He's 24. He's 24. She's 20. Okay, Jesus. Okay, so they're young. So he's working at Sonic, and he's telling you that he can't see his kids. You mean to tell me this was the first time this came up when y'all were face-to-face? And my thing is, you managed to talk about this, but y'all still went into the room to be intimate. So did he tell you when he was kissing you that he couldn't see his kids? Or was that part of the dinner conversation that you ignored and decided you wanted to go back to the bedroom anyway? How, if you only been texting somebody for 5 days, you even end up inviting him to your house? See, this ain't got nothing to do with no dating app. This is bad dating practice. Again, I bring up that because there were many stories we did about the women who have met these men, and she ended up at his house. We said the same thing then. My question is, y'all not reading the news? How you end up, y'all went into the room to be intimate? This was intentional. I'm sorry. I'm not blaming no D-Nap.
Pastor Steph, and let me say this, and I agree with you 100%. On bad dating decisions, you know. Again, you know, I told the story. I'd meet a woman online, and I'd fly to North Carolina to come see you. bad decision. And for most of the people who hear me on It's Due Time, no, I'm kind of bougie. So I was talking to this young lady for just a week, and remember, I'm bougie now. And she's telling me about her wonderful lifestyle. I'm telling her about my lifestyle. And I get there, she live in a trailer park. Now, I'm clutching my pearls because I'm in snakeskin shoes, you know, a whole nice suit, and I'm walking through the swamp thing in a trailer park. So, you know, we make some bad decisions. And you know, you should have heard the signs, I guess, you know what I mean? But we wasn't listening to that. All we listen to is the outcome, is the final, you know, destination. But baby, when we drove up to the trailer park, I almost died. You know, after that, it was no more online dating for me.
I'm sorry. I think a lot of it, I agree with, it's what you do with it, because it's the same thing with Facebook. It's the same thing with Instagram. I think we have to think about the purpose of these apps. If the purpose of this app is for me to date someone, but we're finding more of these type of stories than more of prosperous stories. Like Pastor KL said, you know, when we see the commercials, everyone's eating popcorn, watching movies, or walking in the park and all that, and that's not the reality of it. Should we not start to now analyze, not necessarily that they're not setting you up for destruction, but because this is what it is now being utilized for, just like when they have to shut certain venues down, certain clubs down. I may have this place set up so that everyone can come here, club and party, drink responsibly, go home. But if now there's a whole lot of drugging and everything happening here, should we not now do something to revive or possibly shut down if there could be no modifications made?
And I actually get your point. I actually get your point. And I guess from a pastor standpoint, as a parent standpoint, I can't agree with it. Now, I do not advise anybody to get on a dating app. I don't. I don't think your dating practices should start with an app. I don't. And there are a whole lot of other ways people date that I would not advise either. However, I'm sorry. I can't. I look at people, so I don't get on Facebook because, you know, Facebook is negative. We have been blessed with Facebook, I mean, bountifully. So if they had shut down Facebook because these people were utilizing Facebook for negative purposes, then our blessings could not come from Facebook. Our very Pastor Kim comes from Facebook. Pastor KL comes from Facebook.
Watch it now. Watch it.
I'm only joking, y'all. Pastor KL, we've been friends for over 30 years. we've been, it ain't happened. We're long before somebody Facebook. No, but all jokes aside, I cannot subscribe, despite the fact that I do not advocate for the dating app. There's no sponsorship here. I'm not, you know, telling people go out and get on a dating app. But my thing is, do we learn how to properly function, or do we now blame these particular things for our bad practices? And I think we need to learn how to function and live properly, make better decisions. Now, there's a second leg to this story, which Shantice wants me to tell people that she's not blaming the dating app. I guess she's in a zone where she can't talk. We only had her for a limited time. Maybe she's reached her destination. I just lost my thought. I'm sorry. Oh, there's a second leg to this story. And I'm glad this particular statement came up, because this will add to what we're talking about here. And we got like a couple of minutes to get this second leg out. All right. So right after I, you know, clipped this link to save it for today, I then pull up the next thing, and lo and behold, this same story comes up. It tells a different story. It talks about the fact that Taylor went on the dating app. She said in the other story that I read that she said that was her very first dating app. She had never been on one before. In this particular news report, they say that she said she had been on several dating apps, and this was the first time she had met someone face-to-face. It also says that she's a 22-year-old transgender woman. Now, they continue this, and let me tell you why I bring it up, because she makes it her business in this particular article to say that he knew that she was transgender before they met. And the belief is that she didn't tell him that she was transgender, and he responded to finding out that she was transgender for the first time by attacking her. And she's saying she's confused because she doesn't understand why he would do this to her, because he knew in advance that she was transgender, so he couldn't use that as an excuse. So there's some contradictions going on in the second leg of the story. Now, interestingly enough, Shanti says, you know what, this is why we should shut these dating apps down, because of what people are doing on the dating apps. And prior to me reading this second article, I had all the thoughts that I shared with you earlier. Now, after I read the second article, it really stamped what I said in response to what Shanti suggested. Tamika. Okay. What would you like to add to this particular conversation now that the extra piece has been added in?
Wow. Like, you know, I'm sorry, give me a second to get my words together. I'm almost speechless. Well, yeah, kind of speechless in that you would never fathom all of the different things that people would have, or the ulterior motives that people would have for dating sites, you know, or even just trying to get familiar with people. Let's just say, for instance, you moved into a town. You're just trying to, you know, kind of feel around and see people. But, you know, it's almost as though now, you know, sites like that are more detrimental to your health, you know, as we can see, you know. Do we blame the dating site? I don't really say so, because I have found some really good friends that I've met over the years that are lasting, literally just plain friendships that works well. You know, we obviously realized that you were not in my dating spectrum, or I wasn't in your dating spectrum, and we became alliances or friends. You know, do we blame the site? I wouldn't say so, but you have to be very, very careful when you're out there. You know, if that's something that you do, you know, you have to look at the words that they're saying, how they're saying it. You know, I've done a few dating sites, you know, and I've watched certain things that they said, and I was like, oh, no, you don't get another, I won't speak to you again. That's the last time. You know, especially I spoke to you one time, and we stopped talking, and you just kept, you know, after me. So you never got that first appeal. You know, the sad part about it is we've also talked about the representative. They're out there. They're also out there on your daily basis when you're going out to meet somebody outside of the dating site. So this is why I say you can't blame the dating site, but you as the individual have to be guarded. You have to be careful what it is that you're reading. Pay attention. Don't be so easy and don't be so open to everything that comes your way, because that thing that comes your way could be detrimental to your life.
All righty. Okay. Pastor KL, does the second news story show a different angle, maybe, of, you know, this whole thing?
Okay, I'm kind of at a loss. So are we asking, should we blame the dating site, or should, or
no,
what is that,
no,
second?
No.
Okay.
No, well, not at all. First of all, wait. First of all, I want to reiterate, Shanti says she's not blaming the dating site. So that's definitely
right.
That's definitely not a question. What the question
okay.
that I'm asking is, so we had the first story where she says that, you know, all they did was text for 5 days. They communicated on a dating app, and they text for 5 days. She then invited them. They had dinner. and these certain things happen. She had never been on a dating site before. This was her first time on a dating site, and this was her experience. And now she's telling everybody, she wants to alert everybody to the fact that be careful, don't do this, don't do that on these dating sites, because this is what can happen. The second news report says something very different. The second news report says that she said that she had been on several dating apps before. However, this was her first time ever meeting a person face-to-face in, you know, in person. That's contradicting the first news story. The second news story says that she's a transgender woman, and that piece of information they felt added to maybe why he attacked her, because when they went to get intimate was the first time that he found out that she was transgender. She's saying, hey, that's not true. I told him when we were communicating for the 5 days that I was transgender, and because he already knew, I can't imagine his motive for attacking me. So I'm asking, now that we hear this second news report, is there something you'd like to say in regards to this story now?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, you know, a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. You know, that's first of all. Second of all, if you said it, then it became a hate crime if you said it. If you said it and he's 22 or 24 and didn't know what transgender meant, and all of a sudden we got hot and bothered and he went reaching it and he found something familiar, yeah, then now his ego is bruised. You know, so It's double sided. It's I'm here, and I after all of our texting, you must have said something nice to me. I said something nice to you. We're finally meeting together. You invite me to your house now. For a man, when a woman invites him to their house, that's a booty call. I'm sorry, that's not just dinner and a movie. If I'm coming to your space, then you're comfortable enough for me to come in there. So I'm already from the house. From my house, I got in the mirror, I'm dancing, I'm all, I'm going to get lucky tonight. I created a song, I'm putting on the best cologne I got. I get there, and all of a sudden, we matching swords. No, there's an issue right there. So now my ego is bruised, and how did you try to pump me type thing? You know, and I can't go out like this. Suppose my boys find out. So I got to take you out. I think that's what happened.
All right. Very interesting. Something very interesting you said. So there you have it. You know, we're talking about this dating app date gone from intimate to deadly. And the thoughts. Thank you so much, my due time crew, for your contribution into today's conversation. You said some real interesting and insightful things. Thank you so much. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You as well.
Thank you. All right. Let's get this benediction before I close. All righty. Let's. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. That's 2 Corinthians 13:11. I actually like something that Pastor K.O. just said, and, you know, it kind of blends in with some of my thoughts. And like I said, when I first read the first article, I was filled with thoughts and questions, you know, and when I read the second leg of this story, I was really questioned. You know, I really had some questions in my head. One of the things that came to my head from the inception was, you already have bad dating practices when after 5 days of communicating via text and app, you already invite someone to your house. It's the first problem. First problem. Because there are people that I know, I've known, I don't want in my house. There is nothing you could say to me over text in 5 days that would have me invite you to my house. Nothing. Nothing. I'm talking even like Tamika said, you know, even for, you know, there are some people who just, you know, find friends. You know, it's not even for an intimacy thing. It's just, I'm not inviting you to my house. I'm just, there are people that I've invited to my house. You haven't gotten a second invite to my house. There's a point to getting to know you. I'm sorry. There was none of that here. Pastor KL said something very interesting, and, you know, we as adults kind of know it, and this is not the point I was talking about a minute ago that he made, but he also said when a man hears that he's got an invite to your house, that automatically says booty call. Well, here's why it said booty call to me for the both of them, because in both stories she said they ate dinner, they watched a movie, and they moved to the room so they could get intimate. This was intent for both parties. So whether she had shared the fact that she was transgender or not, still, your poor dating practices had you go into this room with a stranger. You were already alone with the stranger, but you go in further with this stranger. So you up the ante here of danger. Now we get to this issue of, did he know whether you were transgender or not? And that's kind of like one of the things that I really liked what Pastor KL said. Either side, you gambled with something. If he was 22, too young to really understand what you were talking about, because y'all never spoke, so things over text can be easily overlooked. He's 22 years old. How do you know he even knows how to read, really? Because what you're saying over text and a dating app is very basic. So you don't even know. And I'm not insulting him. I'm being straight honest. I'm talking real here. How do you even know that he was even paying attention when you said I'm transgender, supposedly, in your text or on his dating app conversation? There's a lot of things that can be missed. This is why talking is so essential. This is why spending time is so essential. When Pastor KL said maybe he didn't even understand what transgender meant because he was only 22 years old, you know what? That had never even crossed my mind. But is that a possibility? Absolutely. Because the streets call things one way. The people in different states call it something else. We call it one thing, people, and I'm not talking about this particular thing, but just even your terminology shifts from age, generations, location, gender, you know, like Pastor Kale used it, you know, two swords. I had never heard that. I know what it meant when he said it. But again, the terminologies shift based on who you are, your age, generations, the way they talk. So here you are, you're gambling on the fact that he should have known everything about you because you said it in a text. You ran the risk of all of this happening when you did not do your due diligence of spending time with this person. That's your fault. That him slitting your throat. Shanti said the key word. She lived to learn a lesson. Because had that been the average slit your throat, then guess what? You'd been dead and gone. And people would have been talking about you in a whole different manner. He tried to kill you. Now, somebody could say that he tried to kill you because he's just violent. He's just violent like that. And that's what violent people do. He had a history of being violent, and that's what happens. That was his violent manners, and that's what he did. Other people say, well, listen, he tried to slit your throat because he found out at the last minute that you were transgender, and he felt like he was duped. And like Pastor KL said, all he was thinking was, I can't go down like this because what if this gets out? You cannot live this kind of life. That's why I say, like I said, I don't know if it's more of the pastor or more of the parent that's coming out of me when I hear shut down the dating app. And no, she wasn't blaming. She, you know, came and said, I'm not blaming. But whether some people blame the dating app or some people don't blame the dating app, they're just saying because of how people misuse something. Well, people misuse the Bible all the time. What do we do with that? People misuse the telephone all the time. What do we do with that? People misuse a whole lot of things. What do we do with it? You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And my thing is, I made it my business to try to teach my children to navigate around everything by living properly, making the right decisions, because everything can be used dangerously. Everything that is meant for good, the enemy turns it around for evil. Everything. That's his entire goal. So are you going to spend your life shutting down the world? Look at the trains. Look at how the trains are utilized now for this underworld of crime. Do we now shut the entire train system down? Look at how many years we've used the train and how beneficial the train is for us to commute here in New York City. But we don't shut it down because people have now turned to use this as a crime haven. No, it's our responsibility to live responsibly. If she wanted to go on this dating app, and there are many people who are married on this dating from dating apps, you know, I can't say whether they, you know, shouldn't have started there or shouldn't have started there. I'm not starting there. That's all I know. That ain't happening for me. But now we have to understand, what do I do and what don't I do now that I've decided to use this dating app? Do I chat for 5 minutes and now I meet you? I'm going to say this, and I know I may get a lot of backlash. You know, this LGBTQ community, they are extremely, they are very risky people. They are very risque. They are they are out there, and I'm not saying that, you know, the other side of the fence is not, but that is something that I noticed. They don't mind moving between people. I mean, and they always are complaining, and that's why I'm bringing it up. They always complain about where they are in life, but I watch some of their mannerisms and decision making, and man, that transgender thing, that has been a big issue where they are not being honest, and people are really responding to this thing, and they're not happy with this. So we got to make sure we behave properly in order to get the right results in life. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares. Oh, My Two Cents coming back starting tomorrow. God spares life. Until then, I love you.